Hallelujah. Welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and to thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 a.m. for a wee cuppa, followed by worship from 11. You can also connect with us via our Facebook page, Exchange Church Belfast, our Twitter at Exchange Church, our Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, and our website, of course, exchangechurchbelfast.com. And it would be great to hear from you. Now, over to this week's talk.
But it's interesting what God's doing in these times, isn't it? That when we feel that the world is getting darker, or we feel that there's so much stuff going on, even in our country, I want you to know that we have a hope. And our hope prevails over every hope. And that's Jesus. His name is Jesus. And the more that we see Jesus, the more we see him revealed. And this is surely what this church is about, is to reveal Jesus, is to reveal who he is and what he has done. And when we understand that, the important thing is you are, and I am, bombarded every day with things that want our attention, that want to shape us, want to form us, want to tell us what we should believe and how we should believe it, what's okay and what's not okay. And even as believers in that kind of world, it's like, for most of us, it's not like we're getting dropped into boiling water where we react and we go, no, I don't want to do that. Actually, it's in the world that surrounds us, and it's every day. You open up an app to read the news, you read the papers if you do, or opinion, and it's like this constant kind of atmosphere that we live in. But I'm okay with that, because my hope is in the Lord, right? My hope is in Jesus, and what he tells me who I am, what he tells me what my future is, I get to rest completely in that and go, thank God, because I've read the end of the book, and we win. All right? And it's not even about like us versus them. It's about you knowing that no matter what's going on, Jesus has conquered it all. And so what hope we have this morning when we sing about, may that cross never lose its power. Why? Because in that cross we see victory. In that cross we see hope. In that cross we see an absolute future for you and for me both. And if you are losing some of that, then what I want to encourage you to do is keep your eyes on Jesus. Because as you look at him, as you behold him, the word says that what you behold is what you become. And whatever you're giving your attention and your gaze to is what will come out in your life, okay? You will not get pears on an apple tree. You will get apples on an apple tree. Whatever our roots go into is what's going to come out on the top. Do you get that? And so that's why we've been talking about Jesus week in, week out. And I'm going to talk today. One of the comedians in my life group said, oh, so what is it this week? Is it the high priest shoelaces? Is that what we're doing? I thought, okay, I don't think we believe in excommunication, but you're this close, all right? Is that right, Kyle? Just to out you right here in the middle of everyone. High priest shoelaces, seriously. Now, we're going to look at something because remember the whole point of the tabernacle is this and what would become the temple is when we set it back into its big context, because we've spoken so much over these last number of weeks, the children of Israel are on a journey and they're coming out of slavery, the land of Egypt, and the Lord has promised them their future in Canaan, which is the land of promise or the promised land, where they would live, them and their generations, under the favor and the goodness of God, being so blessed and so favored as an example to the nations around them. And so the tabernacle, when the Lord says, whenever you're moving, so the picture for you and I is this, as they were moving from one place to the next, journeying through life, what the Lord said is, put me and my work at the very center. So as you travel and as you camp, remember I showed you how they camped and all that stuff? It's like as we go from slavery to freedom on that journey through life, you have Jesus at the center. And the Lord actually said, build with Jesus at the center. In the days of 9/11, remember Amos 9/11, I will restore the tabernacle of David. I will restore grace. I will restore that ability to walk into the presence of God knowing that you are blessed. But you've got to build around that. That's why Paul said in Ephesus, the church is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. And we all go, yeah, I get that. And then I challenged you, is the church peripheral to your world? Or is your world built around Jesus at the center? Because what the Lord said, the whole picture of the tabernacle is this, is at the very center of the nation and the people, have me in my presence. That's what it was about. Where as you journey and you travel, camp, build, live around me at the center. And what we have been discovering is, even that is in the old, all right? And people go, oh, I told you last week about big churches in America binning the Old Testament. Bonkers, all right? But what this actually shows us is from the very beginning, Aleph Taf, Jesus is revealed. And so the whole thing is a prophetic statement of the days that you and I will live in, which we will see finished when we get to heaven. But we live in it now. We live in the days of Aleph Tav. We live in the days of Jesus and his finished work. Isn't that awesome? And so the whole thing is a prophetic picture. The whole thing is an image for you and I to look at it and go, not that that doesn't mean anything to our lives, but of course it forms us right now because it shows us in the heart of God. It was always Jesus, always his son. From the very beginning in Genesis 1 all the way through to Revelation 22, Jesus, who he is and what he has done. So get your eyes onto Jesus this morning, amen? And so what I'm going to talk about what it's like to come into the tabernacle. I'm going to talk about the first thing that these men and women would come across. And it's called the bronze altar. And have a look up here. So here you can see the tabernacle. At the back, you have the holy place. So you have the holy place, and then you have the Holy of Holies in the back where the Ark of the Covenant sits. We've looked at the golden boards, and we've looked at, I might look at some of the furniture. In front of it, you have the bronze laver where they would wash ceremonially, and they were never done. But as you can see here, coming into the tabernacle, there's only one way to the presence of God. Right? One gate, one door. That was it. And it's on this side. I'm going to show you that in one second. And the whole thing is built around Jesus. Whenever Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, he was not making that up because we see it written right here. There's only one way in and out. I don't know what you're thinking. Your works are not the way. Your best effort is not brilliant. We go, thank God, that's not going to get me anywhere near the presence of the Lord and into that place. There was only one way in. But what was interesting, when you walked in, what you were confronted with, and it was massive, was a bronze altar. And that altar never stopped. It was the place where animals were sacrificed. And of course, it's a picture of Jesus. Because as I walk in, you imagine you walk in and you're going, I want to be in the presence of the Lord. I want to be in that place of safety and protection and favor and blessing. So here I come, and what's the first thing I see? Judgment. All right? Condemnation. And here's the thing, you could not get around it. There was no way of getting around it. You had to come now, and you had to make sacrifice. But I'm going to show you there's details in here that are all the way through the Word that show you Jesus and the Holy Spirit today. It's lovely. Because obviously we all understand that bronze in our typology is judgment, isn't that right? So from David and Goliath and all that stuff, whenever we see bronze, we go, there's a price that needs to be paid. And so what would happen is, in here, and I can make this real simple and go, they sacrificed every day. It never stopped. It continually burned. In fact, the way it was lit was fire from heaven. We can read all this. It's amazing stuff. That the sacrifice that would be made would be a holy sacrifice. So they never lit it. You know, like Elijah, when they poured and all the fire from heaven comes, that's how the thing was lit. You can read all about this. It's incredible. But I want to just show you that there's a few things that David had a revelation of. And you might not have heard this before. Because, it's a picture of Jesus. As you come in and you want to know, how do I stand in the presence of God? Well, obviously we know that Jesus was sacrificed once for all time, forever, for all sin. We understand that? So we get this picture of sacrifice being the way into the presence of God. And what's interesting for me today is that this is why I love grace. This is why I love the work of Jesus, is because many of us approach this and we go, it's my work still, or a bit of my work, all right? And it can't be any of that. And I'm going to show you that. Because what stands between us and the fullness of the presence of the Lord, where we receive glory upon glory, grace upon grace, is that there is a price that needs to be paid. But what the Lord wants to show you in the detail of this is that there are layers to it, okay? And David has this revelation. So in Psalm 26, he says this. He says, I will wash my hands in innocency. I've gone to the Yuli version, all right? This is the only correct one when you look at the words and what they mean. And so I will compass thine altar. Compass, 4 points, okay? That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving, declare with the voice of thanksgiving, and tell of all thy wondrous works. Sometimes that's lovely, isn't it? Tell of all. It makes me want to sing. It sounds like a hymn. No. And right. I'm wearing shorts. You only get one good thing a week, all right? So we have this sense that David starts to give us a revelation. Because what he does is he talks about this altar that's in the tabernacle, and it will be in the temple as well. And God gives him a revelation of the Messiah that would come through it. Because what he understands is there's this sense of I am here, And between me and the Lord is condemnation and judgment. So what is going to happen? Because judgment keeps me separated from being in that holy place. That place of total love, total acceptance, totally judgment stands in the way. And so what he says is this. When in these two verses, David gives us a revelation that I believe the Lord gave him. He says, I will compass thine altar. All right? What he's saying is that when you compass something, it's every side. All right? And he's saying that every side is rich with meaning. Every side is amazing and shows you a beautiful picture that the Holy Spirit wants to show you today. And he's going to demonstrate the Father's love in these two verses based on this altar. Because whenever, if you're outside of grace, whenever you look at how you can be blessed by God, you just feel condemned because you're never good enough. But the Lord gives David a revelation, goes, let me show you every side of this and how it reveals that Jesus to you. Okay? Are you following me? Because there's so much more to it. And so there's four corners on this big, massive bronze. It was actually made of copper, but it had the appearance of bronze. And it was in the outer court, as you can see, of the temple. Now, it was shaped like a cross, and I'll come to that in a minute. And on the corners, on the four corners, there were horns that pointed out north, south, east, and west. And what happened is, this is not what I want to say, but I'm just going to throw it out to you anyway. This is about pointing out to all four corners of the earth, this sacrifice would be enough. There would be nowhere that you could go, nowhere that you could find yourself that the sacrifice wouldn't apply to you. Isn't that awesome? It's like you go anywhere in this world, you find yourself under a rock, top of a mountain, wherever it happens to be, wherever place you're in at your heart, because the sacrifice pointed out to all the four corners compassed, right? It meant that you're never out of this sacrifice for you, all right? So hold that in your head just as I go on. It also is a picture of how we approach God. So remember, you're coming in through the one door. You've got judgment in front of you. How do you approach God? How do you approach that place? That's what it's about. So we come in our sin, but then the picture is you're cleansed once and for all. You're cleansed once and for all. Now, on this altar, there were sacrifices made continually. It never stopped, ever. It was continually going, all right? But the picture for us today is one sacrifice forever has removed judgment and condemnation, and you're free this morning just to walk straight to Jesus and receive all that you need, all right? So what happened? Well, why did David, and it's a funny word, I have compassed thine altar, all right? I've compassed it. I've gone round it and seen exactly what you were showing me. And where you start with on the altar is where they started with the sacrifice, which was the north side, all right? I have to really struggle not to go into north side, east side when I talk about this, because you know, the north side is people like from Larne who rip off Amazon, right? Way out there. Wasn't me, I promise you, it wasn't me. So let's have a look at this in Leviticus 1. Let's start in the north. I'm just going to do the four points for you and show you Jesus revealed, all right? So what I'm trying to say to you is, see, when you feel not good enough this week, when you're looking at judgment, the very thing that you believe is judging you, if you will look close enough, you will see Jesus in it showing you something different. Because under the law, all they saw was penalty and condemnation. For us, when we look, we can see Jesus and his work. All right? Do you get that? So whenever, you will not look at a bronze altar this week, unless you're a bit weird, all right? And you sacrifice animals, good on you, knock yourself out. But for most of us normal people, we don't do that, do we? A more resounding yes would be helpful there, all right? Comes a Thursday. Get a bit twitchy, But what I want to really encourage you with today is whenever you look and you at something that you feel is where you get condemnation back, or you feel it in your heart, and it's between you and the Lord, I just want you to look a little bit closer and to go, in the place of judgment, I see righteousness revealed. Okay? Remember, I've said to you time and time again, at the point of your worst failure, confess your righteousness before the Lord and you will be healed. All right? So that's what it's about. So on the north side in Leviticus chapter 1, it says, and if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish, and he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priest's Aaron's son shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar. Now, the Lord said that the lamb, the sacrifice, if you brought it, had to be slaughtered on the north side. Do you know why that was? Because if you look through the Old Testament, what you will see is that danger for the Israelites always came from the north. And so this is a picture. The Lord said, I'm going to ask you to sacrifice on the north. Because you see, for instance, the north wind in Israel is a destructive wind, if any of you know that. If you want to get real creepy, and I'm not into this, but you can draw a line straight from Jerusalem north, and where do you hit? You hit Moscow, and people are interpreting all this stuff about the end times, about where stuff is going to come from. But basically, when you talk about the north, what it means is this is where danger comes from. This is where destruction comes from. This is where heartache comes from. And so the Lord says, I want you to take the sacrifice and put it under the north side of the altar. And what would happen is the lamb would be slaughtered there. On this side. And this is a picture of where you begin to experience the fullness of God. Because I know you, most of you will know this, but if you don't, and particularly people who listen online, when the lamb is brought up, okay, and it is examined by the priest on the north side of the altar. And what he does is he examines it for any blemish, and he declares it to be without blemish. And as he puts his hand on it, okay, if you're standing beside and it's your sacrifice, what happens is all of your transgression and all of your sin is transferred onto the animal, and the animal is now guilty and deserving of death, and you get to walk free. We understand that. Remember, I keep telling you, the priest never looked at the person who brought the sacrifice. The priest only looked at, was the sacrifice good enough? Can I just tell you, the picture is when the Lord looks at you, he doesn't go, are you good enough? He looks at Jesus and says, he's good enough. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Do you get that? Because the priest's eyes didn't examine the person for sin, all right? Whatever the sins were, the priest looked at the animal, and as you put your hands on in that ceremony, what happened is the priest just looking and goes, the sacrifice is good, without blemish. I love that. That sense of on the north, and I'll go back to the north side in a minute. It's like the priest, Jesus, God, that representation that we've talked about, is not looking at me. Every day, and you're going to see this on the east, every day as he looks, he just looks at Jesus, and everything that is his is yours. Do you know when you get a revelation of that the Lord doesn't even look at my sin? He doesn't even look at it. Why? Because it's dealt with. I'm going to show you that in a minute on the east, what happens. It's incredible. But the point being that beginning with this sacrifice, the death of the animal, the innocent Lamb of God that's slain for your guilt, right? And that eternal righteousness, perfect forever in that moment, is given to you. Isn't that incredible? Now, what it means is, why the north, right? The picture I want you to understand is, see when we sang this morning about the mighty cross, the reason why the Lord told them to sacrifice the animal on the north side was, the picture is, the point in your life where things come in to destroy is the point where the sacrifice covers it. Does that make sense? So it's this gateway, almost, that they found with the northern tribes. That actually, and the visual image is, put the sacrifice, the cross, into the point of your life where you're going to be under attack. So if you're sick, if you're lonely, if you're depressed, it's like, this sacrifice was enough. And it's at your point of need. That's what I'm trying to say, actually. The sacrifice was made for where you have the need. First and foremost, for your sin, dealt with forever now that you're righteous. But as we journey from Egypt to Canaan, we have needs today. And the Lord says, I put the sacrifice exactly where you needed it. Point into the north, okay? So that there be no access into your life, because the cross stands above it all. The sacrifice was enough to take all of the sin, so that the point where sin could have an inroad into your life, the cross stands over it and goes, no, I'm good enough. Isn't that amazing? So what it means for this is, because this is what happens for us. It's like the Lord's trying to say, you know, at the point of your life where you have need, all right, and you stand judged and condemned in your heart, you will never see that come to pass. Unless you understand that at every point of need, it is my work that is enough. Does that make sense? And that's why we look at Jesus every day. That's why we look at how the cross has stopped everything. All of our problems are found in the cross of Christ. Any physical need, any financial need, any lack, any worry of any kind, the answer is always the cross. And Jesus took upon himself all of your nonsense so that you could have complete shalom at the point where you need it. And that is outrageous at times, because you think, well, that is just, how on earth could he love me so much? But he does. And that's why I said sacrifice on the north. It's just a picture of that which comes into your life. Where does your danger come from? The cross is greater. So the sacrifice being made. And then we go around. Does that make sense? Isn't that good? I've just relaxed this week going, Lord, see where I need? My point of need, your cross is the answer. On my north side, where I've been attacked before and things have come into my life before, your cross now, the sacrifice is made at that point. Isn't that awesome? And what do I see? I just see that picture of Jesus not looking at me, or God not looking at me, but he's looking at Jesus, perfect in every way. I'm always standing there going, you know, you get that sense, don't you? Like, oh, please don't look up, please don't look up. Keep looking there. And the Lord's eyes are firmly fixed on his son. And he just goes, oh, absolutely perfect. And in that moment, everything that would come into my life to steal, to kill, and to destroy, the cross stands over it. Now, we need to declare that over our homes. We need to declare that over our families. We need to, in one sense, rise up and say, the cross, may it never lose its power for me. May it never lose its power for me. What he has done has made me safe, has made me secure, has given me hope, has given me a firm place to stand. And in this world, no matter what comes my way, I rest in that place where he is enough. Not me, him. Amen. So that's the north. On to the east. It says this in Leviticus 1:16, and he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers. No idea what that means. Didn't even look it up. And cast it beside the altar on the... That was a joke. Cast it on the altar beside the east part, the place of the ashes. So when we get to the east side of this bronze altar. Okay, so we see Jesus revealed. This is where it starts. His sacrifice for you, enabling you to stand and have everything that would come against you with a cross over it so that you can move on. Where does he say then? The Lord says, if we start with Jesus, where does it end up? And he wanted the people then to have a revelation, David said, of this place of ashes. Now, it's funny when you talk about ashes under the law. It's like, ashes is where I'm bad. I'll just, you know that? This is my failure, it's all ash, it's no good, etc., etc. That was not what he was talking about here. So on the east side, you move from that place of Jesus and what he's done to this revelation of ashes. Because on the east side of the bronze altar, it's the place that reminds you that when the sacrifice was made, it was reduced to ashes. All of your sin, remember, was put onto that. All of your mess, all of your failure, all of your inadequacy, all of your fear and all of your sickness, and the Lord, boom, reduced it to ashes. Now, he wants you to have that revelation of righteousness because there's no more judgment. That animal, listen, the point is the animal couldn't be judged again. Why? Because let me see you make a lamb out of a pile of ash. In the same way you can't take red and blue and mix them together and get them out again, in the same way, what I want is, I want you to see a picture of your sin reduced to nothing but ash, and then I'm going to say to you, let me see you get that ash back together and make me a fully functioning lamb. You're all going to go, don't be bonkers. That's the way he sees your sin. He wants you in that revelation to go, go. You go try to go back to what you were. That's not you. All your sin's a pile of ash here on the floor. Isn't that amazing? And what's interesting about it is this, that you're not going to be judged again because you're completely judged. Jesus consumed in his body all of the wrath, all of the indignation, all of the righteous anger. And so we stand today completely free and free of sin before the cross. Isn't it awesome? And that's why David declared in Psalm 20, may he, God, remember all of your offering and accept, the word is reduced to ashes, your burnt sacrifice. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all of your purpose. Your heart's desire and your purpose are fulfilled because the Lamb reduced all of your mess, all of your sin to a pile of ash so that you can receive. Because the same word for reduced to ash, listen to me, is fatness. This is really cool. So at the same time of reducing the ash, the Lord says, in there's fatness. Fatness, you know, okay. Do you know what? I just want to pay homage to my personal trainer because he's sitting here today, Adam Turnbull. And because when I put my shorts on this morning, I thought about you, Adam. I hope that's not weird. And it probably sounded more weird than what I wanted it to sound, to be fair. But it's just to give a big shout out. You two can have a body like me. One session was all it took. Isn't that right? I'm just helping you out here. I'm helping a brother out. You two can have a body like this. That's all I'm saying. All right? 45 minutes in the gym. I beasted him. I beat him around that place, and I said, come on, big fella. And he just caught my eye there. Oh, dear. But in fatness, that's why. Why did I say that? It was about fatness. Fatness speaks of, you know, the fat of the land, the good of the land. And it says that actually, as your sin is reduced to ash, there is fatness in it. Okay? And in that fatness, there's goodness. Now, what's really interesting about that, why did they pull the ash out from the east side? Because what they did, they take some of the coals, and it would actually go into the Holy of Holies. I'll maybe talk about that in a couple of weeks, part 634. But the point is this, where does the sun rise? On the east. So the first bit of the altar to get the morning sun was the east side of the altar, right? Because that's what it's facing. And the picture the Lord wanted to see at the beginning of every day, your sin is ash. What does the Lord see first thing when you arise? What does the Lord see the first way you start the day? Does he see inadequacy? Does he see lack? No, he looks at you and he goes, all of the mess is done away with every day. Isn't that lovely? Some of us need to know that every day when I get up that the sun is shining on the east side of my altar. And because of that, I am free. I love that picture. You know when you start to see in the whole way through the Psalms where it talks about the Lord's mercy being new every morning? Okay, this is what it was about. That just wasn't plucked out because it's poetic. It's because when they looked on the altar of judgment, the first bit that got it was the morning sun. I love that. See, when you get up tomorrow morning, whatever happens today, you get up and you say, but Lord, I thank you this morning. You know, Penny and I do this, okay? And it's not because we're super holy, because our house can be a basket case at times. But we get up and when we pray in the mornings, we always pray, Lord, thank you today that we're righteous. Thank you that we get to rest today. Thank you that what we put our hands to is favored and blessed. But thank you that we are righteous. Setting our hearts in the right place at the beginning of the day, that as the sun shines on us, that's what it shows. It shows Jesus' work and my sin like ash. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that a lovely picture? And that's why they took the ash from the east side, because it was for us to know and have the knowledge that, you know, it's not just our past or not just up to now, but all of our entire life, the Lord wants you to live with a clear conscience, devoid of the fear of punishment. Because the whole point of ash is, like I said, you're not making a lamb out of that thing again. It's done. It's not going to be punished again. You can burn that ash as much as you want, but it will not make a blind bit of difference. And so it's getting up knowing that under grace and under the work of Jesus, that today, that I can sacrifice all I want, but it's done. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a beautiful picture? So we look at the altar and we go, yeah, they just had to sacrifice animals. No, he's just revealing layers and layers of his work. And the east side is all about having no more consciousness of sin. No more. You are not a sinner. You are a son, a daughter, and a saint. And he doesn't want you to be aware. He wants to burn up and reduce to ash every bit of sin consciousness in you so that you live free. What a picture, huh? I love it. I love it. And the thing is, when you hear that, you go, yeah, that's awesome. But it's for the revelation for the Holy Spirit to show you that in yourself. But my encouragement is when you get up in the morning, first thing go, I am not guilty anymore. I'm starting the day like that. I'm starting my work like that. I'm starting the kids like that. I am righteous. Totally acceptable to the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Because he wants you to see that. Because after Jesus' sacrifice on the north side to protect you and deliver you from harm, he then goes, if I did that, you can't have any more consciousness of sin. Beautiful. No more consciousness of sin. Because it's not there. And you know, when you look at ash, if you have a fire or whatever, just remember that picture. Try to reconstitute that into whatever it was before. It's never going to happen. Then we go to the south side. I need to go quick here. Now, it's interesting that this is when you have grace in your life and you understand the gospel and you start to give this revelation of grace. You start to read the really difficult books of the Bible and you start to see how it all points to Jesus anyway. So Ezekiel is an interesting book, but he had a revelation of the south side of the altar. And it says in Ezekiel 47, 1-2, then he brought me back to the door of the temple. Temple's basically the big tabernacle in Jerusalem. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple Does everyone know what water signifies in the Bible? In the covenant of grace, water is all about, in the Old Testament it talks about cleansing, so you've got the laver, the bronze laver, but water is the Holy Spirit, all right? So God himself in spirit. So the Holy Spirit himself is a picture of water here. Towards the east, for the front of the temple faced east, the water is flowing under the right side of the temple, south of the altar, all right? So it's flowing down the right-hand side of the temple, of the tabernacle as well, but it's on the south side of the altar. And he brought me out, by the way, of the north gate and led me around to the other gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. Now, interestingly, when Jesus dies and the Roman soldier comes to check if he's really dead, he puts a spear into his right side and out flows blood and water. And what is the picture of for me in this altar is the Lord really wants you to know that as you look at judgment, when you feel judged and you feel condemned, when you look at the place of sacrifice, what happens actually in that place, there is life that flows through the Holy Spirit. But you cannot be led truly by the Spirit of God if you have a sin consciousness. Do you know that? That's what he's trying to say. He's trying to let you see that actually when the Holy Spirit is talking to you and revealing to you, he will not ever reveal sin to the believer. He will only ever reveal life flowing. And so on the south side of the altar, that's what we see. We see this picture of water flowing because that's what they would have done. There would have been water that flowed off the back of that as they cleansed and all the rest of it. And so this bit of the altar gives us this idea of, you know, how we can flow with God, right? It's about, number one, coming to the north, receiving that sacrifice. Number two, being cleansed from any consciousness of sin, allowing the Lord to completely show you all the time so that all your my sin is like ash. And then at that place you go, you can truly start to operate as God intended you, all right? I think many people, you know, we were even talking about it this week in our life group going, we mentioned it was just a conversation about how do I know what God wants from me? Remember I said last week, if you really want to know the will of God, it's about light and perfection, all right? But how am I really led by the Lord? If you're still conscious of sin in your life, you'll never truly be led into freedom, all right? Let me explain that to you. If you don't feel good enough, if you don't feel worthy enough, it's very hard to come to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, can I really believe that you will bless me in this area? Because your conscience condemns you, okay? And what he says is the reason, as you are being rid of a consciousness of sin, you'll find the life of the Holy Spirit flowing in you. That's the point. And the Holy Spirit will come to reveal Jesus to you as well. But that's the journey. That's what it looks like. Some people go, I don't really know whether God loves me or not. I'm not really sure whether he wants to heal me or not, but I'm going to pray to the Holy Spirit here, and we're going to pray that God would heal, as an example. And the Lord says, actually, that's why so many people live disappointed, because they haven't got the revelation of no consciousness of sin, that the sacrifice that everything was put onto the Lord. And so then how can you be led by the Spirit of the Lord when you haven't got a revelation of what he's done? Because what is the job of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit said, I will come, and we all go to he'll equip us and live in us. Yeah, I get that. What he said is he would reveal Jesus. He said, I'll bring to your remembrance everything that I've done. I will give you power. I will help you live dunamis, the power of God within you. But I will teach you all those things that he said, and I will bring them to your remembrance. So when the Holy Spirit comes to you, this is the point of the altar. When you look at the altar, just get that picture of going on the other side of sacrifice and not sin consciousness is this revelation of the Lord's love in me. Does that make sense? Yeah? I just think in grace, what happens at times, even in the charismatic church, I'm just going to throw this out. It's not a criticism, but we have lots of people who go round and round in circles. Lots of experiences of the Holy Spirit, all right? 3 years later, 4 months later, 10 years later, struggling with the same stuff. Do you get me? I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying this is my observation over 30-odd years of being in the church. 40 years, nearly. And that is deeply frustrating whenever you hear week after week that God loves you. Because what it does is it can reinforce the idea that he loves them more than me, or I'm not loved enough. And we kind of pray and we say, Lord, would you do it? And the Holy Spirit, and we pray, all this stuff. And the Lord says, actually, there's an order to the work that I did. That's what the altar shows you. There's an order to it. And you will find life flowing, like bubbling up, coming out of you, as Ezekiel describes, flowing out. But it comes after north, east, and then south. Right? And so that's why we preach grace. That's why we preach righteousness. That's why we preach the finished work of Jesus. Because in that place of I'm no longer, it was about him and I'm no longer sinner, I will find life flowing. And if you live frustrated, for me it's busy today, if you live frustrated and have found yourself going round and round in circles, can I tell you that's because between you and that place of freedom and the holiness, the holy of holies, is judgment and condemnation. That's the only inroad into your life is judgment and condemnation. That's it. Not believing or having a revelation of what he has done. Not truly seeing it in your heart and living in that place from your heart. And so that's why he just says, let me show you Jesus time and time again in every detail. Because the more you see him, the more you're going to be free. Isn't that lovely? But I want to encourage you that actually when the Holy Spirit is, and we're actually going to do a series in about 19 years when I get through centered. Isn't that right, Kyle? After I do the high priest's little toenail, which is a really good 12 weeks on that one. And we're going to do about a series on the ministry of the Holy Spirit through grace. Okay? Gifts, ministry, all that stuff, receiving the Holy Spirit. And what's that look like in the gospel of grace to really help you? Because I just felt that's one of the things the Lord is saying, step up in this. But it's not the way that I saw it growing up. Do you get me? So but it's just to encourage you in that way. I want to encourage you that, you know, if you try to bypass, I guess what I'm trying to say is this. If you try to bypass the revelation of I am completely righteous, I'm no longer conscious of my sin. If you try to bypass that and just get to the south side of the altar where I'm led by the Spirit, all right? You will always lack assurance that your sin was reduced to ash. And when you lack that assurance, you feel that it's still there. And it's blocking me going to the Lord. You know that? So I think even for some of us, we just need to rest a while at that place of, I'm no longer a sinner. Don't rush to what the Lord's doing and just rest a while there, as long as it takes for your heart to be convinced that he so loves you. And as you rest in that place, let me give you absolute assurance, he is looking after everything in your life, north, south, east, and west. But he wants you there. He doesn't want you to skip. He just wants you to rest, to truly know that my sin is no longer an issue. Isn't that beautiful? And finally, just on the west, I want you to go quick. It's what's on the west side of the altar? It was actually called the Mishkan. It's the tabernacle. And this is the place where the people of God dwell together. And this is where they came together to worship. And this is where there's like this anointing of grace and anointing of God to his people. I just want to say this, all right? The last bit of the altar pointed towards where the people of God met together on the west side, all right? And there's strength in numbers. I want to encourage you about our church and why I believe in it and why I believe this church matters to you. Number one, it's because this is what the Lord's doing in the last days. He's revealing Jesus, okay? And he's doing it in the church. And he's doing it as the church so that we can touch our worlds, whatever your world looks like, with grace and with love. And there's a corporate anointing. That's the point here. It says here that in Psalm 26, I'll read it in 1 minute, but the interesting thing about sheep is that they're made to dwell in flocks. Sheep are not outliers. And you don't necessarily need to be doing holy things. But actually, as this last side of the altar pointed towards the tabernacle, what the Lord was revealing to David was this, was actually it's good to be together in a place in these last days where Jesus is at the center. Build your life around it. Whatever you're doing, build your life around this. That's not me as the pastor saying that. That's what it says in the Word of God. Because if one thing I'm convinced of, and I've never been in this place really, personally, is I believe we are accelerating towards the last days very quickly. We're in them. But the acceleration around the world of stuff that's going on has my heart starting to awake to some kind of eschatology, all right, which I've allowed to lie dormant a little. I understand it. I understand about the rapture. I have never preached it, but I probably will. But I do understand that we are living in days now where there's an acceleration towards the end. I believe that, folks. It's not spooky. Just have a look. Take your thumb out and have a look around what's going on. I think that that's particular for us. And what happened is the Lord said, in these last days, remember when he's revealing Jesus, there would be strength in the people of God, in the place of God, where the anointing of grace is flowing. So if you're here, say a big amen and thank you to Jesus, because you're in a good place. It's a place of strength. It's a place of family. It's not just a club for Sunday mornings. This is eternally significant for the days that we live in. And we haven't even begun to see the start of it for Exchange Church. You understand that? You know, we haven't even begun to see the start of it. Psalm 26, David wrote this. He said, I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar so that I may proclaim, I will compass your altar, that I may proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. My foot stands in an even place, and even in the congregations, he said, I will bless the Lord. And so it's that thing of us understanding that grace and what the Lord is doing here today for you is that he wants you to find your place here. He wants you to know that this family is about your security. It's about your safety. It's about your encouragement. Because if you're not in a place with Jesus at the center, everything else will shape you and form you. We need to gather together in the presence of the Lord to say, this is where we are today. This is what the Lord is doing. And allow the message of grace and love and the favor of the Lord to shape us and change us and show us Jesus revealed. Amen? And so that's what he says. That's how we square this off, if you like, those 4 points. And and David says this because up until now, you could probably go, yeah, that's for me, that's for me, that's for me. But he says, I'll tell of all your wondrous works. I have loved the habitation of your house, the tabernacle, the place where your glory dwells. My foot stands where? He's talking about being in the presence of God, in the tabernacle with the people. He says, that's an even place, no bumps. And in the middle of the congregation, I'll bless the Lord. Isn't that lovely? That's why we do what we do, folks. That's why we're here today. That's why this message will go around the world and people all over the world are going to listen to it again this week. It's amazing to me. That's why this country, when I looked at what happened yesterday, I think we need a place that declares the truth of Jesus and who he is. Because you know what yesterday showed me? People are looking for freedom. They're looking for love. They're looking for acceptance. They're looking for all of that, but they're looking in all the wrong places. And that's why we're here. That's why the Lord has called us for this purpose, to say, Jesus alone. Amen? So when you think about those 4 pictures, and the interesting thing, just to finish, is remember this corner's on the altar of judgment? The church should not be known as people who judge. And can I say, as the pastor and the leader of Exchange Church, this is a place of love and grace and acceptance. It is a place of orthodox belief, what he says, who he is. But make no bones about it. God is the judge. He has judged once for all kind, and now what we do is we show people Jesus and let them make their minds up. Because it's interesting on the altar of judgment, what he says, there's this bit about the church gathering, okay? To go, where people have seen judgment, I'm going to show them a family of grace. Where Jesus was the sacrifice, where their sin was reduced to ash, where there's the life of Jesus himself flowing in them, and we come together. So that's what people need to see, and people I want people to see in this church. For me, the altar, at one point, is about Jesus and his ultimate sacrifice, but it's a beautiful picture of Exchange Church Belfast, where people come looking for God. There's only one way to God. How do I get there? Because I feel judged and condemned. Let us show you north, south, east, and west. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Isn't he good? Isn't he really good?